You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
In Franz Kafka's 1919 story, In the Penal Colony, a European explorer visits a South Seas penal colony and is introduced to a truly infernal machine of torture and punishment by its proud and enthusiastic operator, who is about to demonstrate it on an unlucky prisoner. In a visual art installation by Jerry Zaslav titled The Insurance Man, Kafka in the Penal Colony has metaphorically recreated the machine from the story. Laura Lamb saw the installation and she's here with her thoughts. Hello, Laura.
Hello.
And now, this is an exhibition based on and responding to a work of literature. Do you need to read the story before you see the show?
No, I don't think you really need to. Because, for one thing, a lot of the story is right there on the walls of the gallery. So you can stand there and get the main parts of the story just by reading it while you're there. But I did reread the story before I went. Probably the last time I read it was 25 years ago or something. And I think it helped to reread it. But even if you didn't know the story and if you had never read it, I think you could probably get quite a bit out of the show.
Okay, so I have not read the story. Could you tell me a little bit more about the story and the machine?
Okay, well, as you said in the introduction, the operator of the machine is a military officer, and he's called the officer, and he's demonstrating it to this explorer, and he expects the explorer to be very pleased and impressed with his wonderful machine. The machine itself it has three parts, which he says over time have acquired these nicknames: the bed, the harrow, and the designer. So it's a complex kind of early 20th century technology, and the officer describes it in detail how it's made. Kafka describes what it looks like. It's made of wood and metal. The bed, of course, is where the prisoner is placed. The designer is sort of the brain of the machine. This a complex sort of clockwork mechanical contraption with many gears and cogs and with dozens of settings and adjustments which have to be made. And basically what this horrible machine does is it inscribes upon the body of the prisoner, with a sharp instrument, the harrow, the lesson that he is supposed to learn. Basically, it inscribes the rule which he has broken. So in the case that the prisoner who's about to be executed, it's going to inscribe on his flesh, respect your superiors, because he's disobeyed an officer. So it gradually, very slowly, kills the prisoner by cutting into his flesh in this very complex way, writing kind of. And the details in the story go on for about four pages as the officer describes everything, including, how long the prisoner will try to scream and what will happen to the blood. It's really very awful, when the screaming will stop. But what makes the apparatus so perfect, according to the officer, is that just before the prisoner dies, he will reach a kind of state of enlightenment where he understands completely the lesson that has been written on him. And that's the whole purpose and point of this perfect machine.
What a lovely and touching story.
Well, it does have a happy ending, which I had forgotten, or maybe I never got to it the first time I read it. Maybe I was so horrified I couldn't finish it, because the officer wants the explorer to help him kind of rehabilitate this sadistic machine back into favor with the governors of the island. Apparently, it's fallen out of favor when the old governor has died. And there's this feeling of horror when you read it that because the explorer is not going to approve of this machine, he's going to end up in it. He's going to end up killed. But when the explorer finally gets up the guts to say no, he's not in favor of this machine, he doesn't think it's right, and he's kind of a wishy-washy kind of fellow, the officer actually frees the prisoner and sets up the machine to kill him. And what it's going to inscribe on the officer is, "Be just." So he sets himself up to be executed. But instead of doing what it's supposed to do, the machine goes crazy. It does kill the officer, but it also destroys itself. It starts making all these clanking noises because it's supposed to run smoothly and silently, like the perfect thing it is. But the cogs and the gears start springing out and rolling off into the sand, and it won't stop. Every time the explorer thinks that it's finally finished itself, more wheels and cogs come popping out. So it's kind of a comic relief, and I really delighted in that part of the story.
And how is this horrible machine recreated in the exhibition?
Well, in the gallery up at SFU is just absolutely packed with stuff. There's all this text on the wall, not just from the story, but other text. There's photographs, there's paintings, there's cabinets with drawers that you open up that have artifacts in them. There's audio components. It seems to be endless items. But the part of the show that seems to be the recreation, the central object, is in the gallery is a pile of mattresses that are hooked up to a car battery. And on each mattress is stenciled a word. And the words are machinery, sleeping, marriage, office, hospital, and writing. And this pile of mattresses is backed by a hugely enlarged engraving of Prague, which, of course, is where Kafka lived and worked. And I found that, that central object rather anticlimactic after reading the story and kind of weak in its affect.
Now, most of these words which are stenciled on the mattresses, sleeping and marriage and office and so on, they don't seem to refer to the story at all.
No, I think they refer more to Kafka's daily life, the prosaic world around him. He spent a lot of time in the hospital as he was ill and dying of TB. He worked in an office where he was kind of in the workman's compensation insurance company of the time, where he dealt with machines and what they could do to people's bodies. Basically, I think the idea was to connect his writings, which seem very strange, to the prosaic daily life, where they are rooted, and with the everyday and the matter-of-fact parts of that time and place.
And now, the artist, Jerry Zaslav, he describes the work as a metaphorical recreation. You weren't expecting a literal construction of the machine, were you?
No, I mean, it would have been kind of incredible if someone were to try to recreate it, but it would be impossible, I guess. And also, even if you could do that, it would be fruitless, because no depiction that would literally try to create this machine could really match the power of Kafka's writing and the way Kafka's writing grips some kind of primitive part of your imagination. Trying to make that concrete, trying to make this object that he describes concrete, would strip it of its power, I think, because no physical object could be as horrible as that description. I think part of what makes the description really horrible is the officer and his pathetic feelings of pride and love for this machine. I think that's one of the keys to the horror of the story.
Now, it must be challenging to make a work of art that refers directly to a very famous and important work of art, a hard act to follow, as it were.
Yeah. I was reminded of one successful visual response to Kafka's work. It was done quite a few years ago by a collective called Tim Rollins plus KOS, where they took an image from the story America, which was a trumpet, the angels playing trumpets, and they took the trumpet imagery and repeated it over and over again and kind of reproduced the emotion of that part of the story, which is kind of joy, noise, and grandiose spectacle, which builds on the emotional, adds an emotional response to the already emotional part of the story. So I think... that would have been a better way to go, rather than this kind of affectless, underplayed kind of object that was made.
Now, you mentioned that the installation includes or is surrounded by other materials and artifacts. What else was there to see?
Well, tons of stuff. There are a lot of pictures, including portraits from a portrait school in Prague. Most of the stuff in the gallery was text on the wall, including all kinds of writings by Kafka, not just this story, and other text. And then artifacts from Prague, including, and from that period of Prague history, so including photographic portraits, drawn portraits from an art school in Prague, postcards, illustrations from books of the time, pictures of atrocities from the First World War, pictures of factories, prisons, pictures and drawings of colonial life of the time, the actual books that Kafka may have read or did read. For instance, there's one book called, I think it's called something like Visit to the Penal Colony by Robert Heinke. There's objects like toys and puppets, which I found very interesting, including a couple of puppets probably from a folk puppet show, traditional kind of puppet show, where one of the puppets was a racist caricature of a Jew, and another one was a comic caricature of a military man. So all these objects, create this plethora of information.
And what's the overall effect?
Well, it's what happened, I guess. I mean, what Jerzy Zaslav did was he spent a lot of time in Prague going through junk stores and collecting this stuff, and all of it in his mind and in the exhibition adds up to Kafka. Everything he found from this time and period seems to refer directly to Kafka's work, and it's kind of wonderful the way it does. You get a feeling for the context of Kafka's work in general and for the historical context of this particular story, the war, the authoritarianism, how machines seemed at the time, the kind of menace of those machines, what industry was like, what colonization was like, what punishment in prisons were like, how the bureaucracy worked, racism at the time, what people's work lives were, and all that is contextualized and brings home the story and brings the links to Kafka's daily life. How the story links to Kafka's life and how perhaps the story links to our daily life. And although I thought that the show maybe wasn't successful or maybe was wrongly labeled as being a reconstruction of Kafka's machine, it does reconstruct sort of the raw material, the stuff of the times. And that raw material, that everyday stuff, that kind of quotidian objects and time and place is really what makes Kafka's stories work. Although it seems like a contradiction since his stories are so uncanny and strange and dreamlike, they really depend on those kind of daily mundane details.
That sounds more like a museum exhibit than an art installation.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of like going to the Kafka Museum.
All right, Laura, thanks very much for coming in and giving us this rundown on the art installation, The Insurance Man, Kafka in the Penal Colony.
Thanks, Sean.
I've been speaking with Laura Lamb about The Insurance Man, Kafka in the Penal Colony. The exhibition continues at the Simon Fraser University Gallery on Burnaby Mountain until June 27th. There's also a Kafka Film Festival in conjunction with this show from June 22nd to 25th at the Van City Theater. Thanks, Laura.